Thank you, Kathy, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm John Lunsk. I am, as it says here, I work for CGI Federal, and as Kathy suggested, I'm contracted to APHL for some of this work on supporting standards. What I'd like to spend a little time with you talking about this afternoon is first a little bit about why standards and why they play such an important role in this process. And then I'm going to talk about some of the tools that standards offer in terms of data quality. These are not all the data quality things one could pursue, but we're not necessarily taking advantage of everything we can do to get good quality data in some existing implementations. And so I'm going to talk about those things, and hopefully we can work on that going forward. I'm going to talk about the EICR and the reportability response, the specific standards that are have been identified for case reporting, and a little bit about process and future directions. So why standards? Standards can enable, don't always, but can enable the exchange of comparable, more complete, and more timely data. They can reduce the technical integration costs about developing connections between different organizations and different systems, and reduce the amount of mappings that one needs to do, which consume resources and time. They can also help coordinate different participants that are working on the process and help as an a manifestation of regulations that are related to that process. They also can be and are the increasingly the leverage point for incentives and regulations. We saw this in meaningful use. It's laid out that way moving forward in regulations as well. And that's an important consideration as we in public health are trying to get data and get others to do some of the things we need to do for that, for functions like case reporting. And they can allow all participants a seat at the table in a consensus-based development process. As I said yesterday, one of the challenges allowing all participants a seat at the table in a consensus-based development process. It can be a very rigorous process, involves many comments, many inputs. It's a great thing, but it takes a little time to go through such a process. We have 540 comments that we're now reviewing and implementing for the reportability response, and we had, I think, 578 or so comments on the EICR that were processed. And we worked that through the HL7 Public Health and Emergency Response Working Group, and Erin Holt is one of the co-chairs. She's here of that group. Public health is represented there, but also EHR vendors and other aspects of the health IT industry in this process. Another challenge is that standards are not necessarily well supported, both from the standpoint of just general resources to pursue, but also to bring people to the table. Tennessee brings resources to the table, but not every state has been able to do that, and not all the other participants do in equal measure. And that's an important consideration for moving this forward. It's not one and done. This is a process. It's an ongoing process, and it needs to be thought of that way, and it needs ongoing support to do that. And as I said previously as well, there's sort of a tendency among technical people, and that includes a lot of standards people, to be very attracted to the next bright, shiny object and to leave the last one in the past, and perhaps do that too quickly. And as great as new standards are, almost always moving from one standard to the other is majorly disruptive and has costs associated with it. And we have to think about and plan for that transition if we're going to have a coherent process moving forward. Obviously, also, they confuse people with obscure technical acronyms, jargon, and concepts. I'm going to try to do as little of that today as I can, but you'll see that some of it creeps in, and it's hard to talk about this without some of that. In the end, this is about data and data transactions. This is about something that CSDE is very interested in. So one of the things that standards can do is they can be implemented in different ways with different outcomes. I mentioned that before, and a document standard, which both the EICR and the reportability response are, can be tested with tools that come with it. And the testing is important to the data quality that can be achieved. There are two types of testing. There's pre-implementation testing, when developers go online and try to test to see that they're implementing the standard properly. And then there's inline validation, when incoming data and incoming documents are tested as they're actually in production coming into a system. Both of these serve important roles in the process. On top of that testing can be laid something like certification, which was done and has been done for electronic health records in association with meaningful use, but the strength of that certification can vary depending on how it's done. One way that certification is done is to say basically what to do what's called self-attestation, where the maker of a product says, yeah, I meet those standards. Another level that is more significantly strenuous, but also has potentially greater effectiveness, is to test shrink wrap software, that which you would download an EHR that was produced by a company but had not yet been implemented into a healthcare setting, for example. But the moving further down the spectrum to become even more effective but more rigorous, one can test the software implemented in user sites or test the data as they're exchanged. And that is increasingly helpful in terms of getting to the data that you want. In terms of these standards, these document standards that are the EICR and the reportability response are, they have basically a structure that can be tested. The structure has different buckets, bins, that can hold data. Some of these bins are broad and have a lot of different types of data put into them. Some of them are highly specific and can only take a very specific kind of data, but the structure has to be there to take that. And then there can be constraints that insist that those bins actually have data in them. And those are two different things. And they're at play in significant way in both the EICR and the reportability response. There are tools in data validation that relate to constraints that specify what kind of data is in one of those bins. It can sometimes be narrative text, and it just what you can do to it and to ensure that it can be processed is limited. But it can at times be something like a SNOMED code, where you're then looking to make sure that this is indeed a SNOMED code that's in there. It says it should be a SNOMED code, but is it? And then, with even more specificity, it may be a value set of that terminology. SNOMED is enormous. It includes thousands and thousands of different codes, and in some instances, one says, well, these are the 5 codes from SNOMED that can be used in this bin, and you want to validate that. Finally, there's the ability to validate certain level of business logic, constraints that specify, well, if data exists here, then they should exist in this other, that something should be in this other bin here. It's not processing like RCKMS is doing about reportability concepts, but it is processing about having the data in the document to meet the needs. And all of these things can be deployed to ensure that data are well implemented. This is not something that has actually been done consistently in terms of meaningful use and clinical data transactions. But there is an opportunity to do that with the EICR and the reportability response as they're implemented in advance. These standards really belong, in quotes, to public health for the purposes of supporting electronic case reporting. But it is a process. It takes time. It takes resources. And the process exists at least 2 different levels. At a national level, what electronic health records have been generally doing is moving from not great specificity in the way data are stored and transacted to increasing level of specificity. And we have an opportunity in public health to take advantage of some of that. Meaningful use started to articulate how data should be stored in EHRs, not just that data should be exchanged in a certain way. And that's very helpful and will be more helpful moving forward, but it is also a process, and it's a process that's not done. The HL7 CDA, which is some jargon to throw in there, the clinical document architecture, moved to greater specificity than HL7 version 2 formats. Those of you who have done or are doing ELR know that there are certain bins in the lab message that are sort of notorious for having data just dumped in there without great specificity for where it's placed or what it is that is in that place. The CDA improves on that, but it's not perfect either. The CCDA, the Consolidated Clinical Document Architecture, which has been a big part of meaningful use, sort of introduced some additional problems in that regard because it increased the flexibility. It had a series of templates. The templates actually in implementation around clinical transactions were notorious for the flexible or variable ways that they are implemented. Some different EHR companies implemented them differently than others. The products you get out of EHRs are very different in regard to some CCDs, some of the other CCDA documents, and even to the point where some instances of EHRs, so the same EHR implemented in a different site, may produce a different version of that standard. These all need to continue to grow, to continue to mature, and to continue to get more specific. It's also a process locally. Whenever you come out with a new standard and make it available, like the EICR, there's a need to implement it, to refine it, and to progress it. And that occurs not only in the context of an individual developer implementing it, because when they first implement it, it will not be right, but it also is related to the standard itself. Meaningful use has been very helpful to public health. A lot of these standards are now in place that are getting data out of electronic health records to support public health purposes. The specific ones here, the electronic initial case report is a specification for conveying a referral or case report from clinical care to public health. The reportability response is the response to that transaction. There should be one reportability response for every EICR. That's the goal. And these are intended to support all conditions in all jurisdictions. These could really, from a technical and standard perspective, be thought of as one standard, just two sides of one transaction. And that would be a very viable way to have implemented them. But they were developed to support directly exchanging data between an EHR and a public health agency. That's one use case. To support having public health intermediaries like Ames and RCKMS in the middle. And also to support clinical intermediaries like health information exchanges and trust networks that may be in the middle in some circumstances as well. The data for the EICR were identified by CSTE Task Force, and they're almost exclusively data that should exist in an EHR secondary to the provision of care. It does include some data, though, that is not in clinical transactions, and something like travel history, which is a critical public health need, but isn't even recorded that consistently in the electronic health record. The purpose here is to put it on the table to try to continue to advance this to make sure that something as critical as travel history, for example, does get implemented in electronic health records in a structured way and does get advanced to public health accordingly. This is advanced, as was suggested by Laura, when triggered in an electronic health record. It can be manually initiated as well. It is intended to support that. And there are opportunities going forward for additional data to be advanced as this standard process continues. So on the left, you have the data that are in the EICR version 1.1. It includes a significant amount of data as specified by CSDE as important to case reporting. On the right are some other data that have been offered forth that need to be considered moving forward. And the process of advancing the standards will include doing that consideration. The reportability response has some basic functions about presenting text to providers and to reporters that are about them reading it. It also has some functions that are important for machines to process when it's received at an EHR. It's about communicating the reportability of conditions in an EICR, reportable, non-reportable, maybe reportable, and it also indicates what public health agencies, one or more, has been sent the report and to provide contact information if that has indeed happened. It also has some bins that allow for additional information to be added as public health is able. These bins would allow, for example, for clinical follow-up activities, including additional reporting needs, linked to supplemental data forms for supplemental data reporting, and additional clinical support information as that's available coming from public health agency websites and providing that in the context of the particular conditions at hand that were identified in the EICR. So, finally, the standards we have now, EICR version 1.1 was published in January of 2017. It has been implemented by several EHR vendors. It was designed to be easily implemented. One EHR vendor proudly announced at the HIMSS Interoperability Showcase that they weren't planning on implementing it, but they looked at it and 2 weeks before the showcase decided that they could do this quickly, and they did so in a two-week period. That simplifies what EHR vendors have to do in terms of distributing their software, but it gives you a sense for the how easy some of this can be. The reportability response, the HL7 ballot is now closed, 540 comments being dispositioned in the Public Health and Emergency Response Working Group. And we are working on several other things. One is the data I mentioned that are in queue for public health consideration. We're also advancing approaches to try to help with consistent triggering and logic distribution. That's a future activity. And we are in the process of developing HL7 FHIR, Fast Health Interoperability Resources, which is the new standard suite that HL7 is advancing, but it's one that has not rolled out in the industry. We're advancing these standards to be developed to represent the EICR and the reportability response concepts so that they will be available when public health and the industry are ready to implement them. And that will be part of the process, is coming to the conclusions about when that time is, but we want to have them available so that they can be used when it happens. Thank you.